Thank you very much. This presentation is on verticillium wilt resistance and fruit yield and quality of grafted watermelon in Washington State, and it's really the work of my master's student, Jesse Weimer, who just finished his degree this summer, and then also working with Dr. Deborah Inglis, who's the plant pathologist at the research center where we're located in Mount Vernon. All right, a little bit of background on watermelons in Washington. The industry was worth approximately $5 million. There's been a 33% decline in production over the last 5 years, 300 hectares in 2007 down to 200 hectares in 2012, and primarily this loss was as a result of verticillium wilt, or soil-borne diseases, which is primarily verticillium wilt. Grafting is used successfully around the world to manage soil-borne diseases in watermelon production, but few studies have focused on grafting watermelon onto resistant or tolerant rootstocks for verticillium wilt. I did have a graduate student, Sasha Johnson, who then became Buller when she married, and she did some. We did some work in Washington looking at verticillium wilt and grafted watermelons with very good success, and so this work really builds on that previous work. So this is Jesse in our field in eastern Washington. This is what our fields look like, 100 acres or so per field in dry, high desert climate. So the hypothesis for his studies were, one, that grafting watermelon onto resistant tolerant rootstock can reduce verticillium wilt severity. Two, that grafting will increase yield and have no adverse effects on fruit quality. And three, that the effects of grafting will vary by location. So we had three sites for this experiment. We had Othello, which is where Jesse is standing right here. We collected soil samples from each one of our sites and analyzed for verticillium. Dalii, which is the causal organism of verticillium wilt. So at the Othello site, at the time of his planting, the load was less than one colony-forming unit per gram of soil. At Eltopia, which is his second site, it's about 100 miles or so south of here. They're both in the Columbia Basin, which is our watermelon production region for Washington. The load there was 5.7 CFU per gram of soil. In Mount Vernon, where our research center is located, we have a very high pathogen load. We're 18 CFU per gram of soil, but we're much cooler climate, so we don't actually grow watermelons there on a commercial basis. But I looked at it as an opportunity to screen rootstocks and look at the effect of grafting for disease control because we have a very high level of disease. So the treatments were sugar baby ungrafted. Sugar baby is a seeded watermelon. It's a watermelon that's of interest to direct markets, more local marketing systems. I should mention at this point that all of our large-scale commercial production is all in seedless watermelon. So this is a seeded or diploid variety. And then we had sugar baby grafted onto four different rootstocks, Marvel, Rampart, Tetsugabutu, and Titan. And we use the one cotyledon method, which hopefully you can see here. So we remove one cotyledon and the meristem, leave one cotyledon on place, and then graft the scion onto that using a grafting clip. So that's what that looks like. So Othello, this is what the field site looked like on 26th of June, so a month or so after transplanting. And this is the low density of pathogen in the soil, and the trial is right here. And basically, there's very little difference, if no difference at all, between the plots at that location. Just a close-up look at the plants are relatively healthy. There's a little bit of flagging going on right here, so we do have disease at that pathogen level, but that's the extent of the disease right there. This is Eltopia, which again is about 100 miles south, and the colony-forming units are 5.7 per gram of soil. These are the plots, and while they don't look a lot different at this point, looking at them a little bit closer up. So here's sugar baby ungrafted, and what you can see here is flagging. There's wilting going on in the vines. Sugar baby onto marvel, plants certainly much healthier, much more canopy, and on Tetsugabutu, much healthier, much more vigorous canopy in that treatment. Mount Vernon, which is our site in western Washington, this is where our research center is located. This is on 4th of August. Plants look relatively healthy. In fact, there's very little difference at this point in time. But about a month later, basically what we see is the disease comes in by mid-August. It really hits, and within 2 weeks, basically, our plants are dead or dying. So here we have sugar baby, non-grafted, and basically what you see are very, you know, dead plants to very impacted plants. And here's sugar baby onto Tetsugabutu, very low pathogen, although, again, still flagging going on. So there's still disease happening, but just at a much lower level with the grafted plants. So looking at the area under the disease progress curves, AUDPC values at the three sites, and I've gone ahead and color-coded them as low pathogen, medium pathogen, and high pathogen. So Othello, there's no significant difference in the AUDPC values for any of the treatments. However, I will mention that there's a trend with the sugar baby non-grafted tending to have the highest AUDPC value. At Altopia and Mount Vernon, there's significant difference among treatments there with grafting, and so the non-grafted plant having the highest disease severity, and a little bit of variation in terms of what did best at each location, but if you look at the lowest value, Tetsukubutu tended to have the lowest disease severity at both sites. So looking definitely promising in terms of grafting, absolutely reducing pathogen load when the pathogen levels are medium to high, but not having an impact where the pathogen levels are low. Looking at yield, I will say that Mount Vernon, I did not include this in this data set, it's in the next slide, because we did not get to maturity in Mount Vernon. So in 2014, our rain started relatively early, temperatures dropped, and the fruit just didn't reach maturity size, so I didn't want to confuse the data here. So these are marketable yield data for Othello and Altopia. And this is the average yield per plot, 14 kilograms per plot at Othello, 13 at Altopia. So there was an interaction by treatment by location, but there was not actually a location effect, statistically speaking. So again, looking at yield, sugar baby tended to have the lowest yield at both sites, although it was not significantly different at Othello. And then looking at the highest yield, Tetsukubutu tended to have the highest yield at Othello. Again, not statistically different, but was statistically different at Altopia, where the disease level was higher. So I'm going to keep saying that. Disease pathogen load impacts the effect of these treatments, or the opportunity for these treatments. So that's just the statistical analysis for those two sites. Mount Vernon, where the fruit did not actually reach physiological maturity. We went and harvested all fruit above 2 kilograms in size, which is basically they reached fruit size, they just didn't mature internally. So that's what this data shows. So this is sugar baby, again, non-grafted, having the lowest yield, but statistically equivalent to sugar baby onto rampart, and Tetsukubutu, again, having the highest yield in terms of kilograms per plant. So there's a trend there in terms of Tetsukubutu tending to have the highest yield across all three locations. Fruit quality at Othello and Altopia, we didn't do any fruit quality analysis at Mount Vernon because, again, those fruit did not reach physiological maturity. So we looked at firmness, total soluble solids, and then lycopene content. So looking at the firmness data first, there was a statistical difference between the two sites that were presenting this data separately. So if we look at Othello, again, there was no significant difference due to grafting at Othello, which follows the same pattern that we saw with the disease severity work, but there was difference due to grafting at Altopia. So with firmness, a more firm fruit is more desirable for the market, having a longer shelf life, better shipping qualities, et cetera. So we want something that's going to be at least as high as sugar baby. And so what we see as Marvel is higher, and Tetsukubutu, again, having a very good fruit firmness compared to non-grafted plants. And then Titan having, again, a very high firmness. So that's a positive attribute in the marketplace. Looking at soluble solids, there was no difference between the two locations, but there was a difference due to treatment. So the non-grafted sugar baby tended to have the higher sugar content, but was not different from Titan or Marvel. So again, that's a positive attribute, not a negative attribute. Grafting did not negatively impact the quality of those fruit in terms of total soluble solids. Looking at lycopene, there was no difference among treatments with lycopene content on any of the sites. So the summary from this data is simply that grafting did not negatively impact fruit quality, and for firmness, it actually was a positive attribute in some cases. And fruit quality, impact of grafting on fruit quality is always a concern on the part of growers, marketers, and reportedly consumers. So summary from this work is that grafting watermelon onto disease-tolerant rootstocks significantly reduced verticillium wilt at moderate and high levels of verticillium dalei in the soil, but not at low levels. And the take-home message to our growers that I'm providing to our growers is that it pays for them to get their fields analyzed. They tend to, our growers rotate their fields annually. You never know which field you're going to go into each year. That's pretty much set over the winter time. But once February, March comes along, they know their fields that they're going to be planting. It's relatively an easy process for them to collect a soil sample, send that into the lab. Verticillium can be analyzed. From the soil, it's a relatively easy process, and you can get that data back within a couple of weeks, and then you can make a decision whether or not you're going to use an ungrafted plant or a grafted plant. Now, you'd have to have all of that figured out. If you're going to be using grafted plants, you'd have to have all that figured out in advance, but at least you'd have some idea of how to manage these fields, and you'd have an idea of your field history from year to year as to whether or not your pathogen loads are going up or down. And I think that's really the way for us to manage verticillium wilt and the graft, you know, whether or not it is worthwhile to use grafted plants in Washington. Yield was significantly increased by grafting onto disease-tolerant rootstocks when verticillium dialyate levels were moderate to high. We haven't done the economic analysis for that yet. That's what we're in the process of doing right now. But then that'll tell us whether or not it's worthwhile for the growers to actually use a grafted plant based on, you know, the cost-benefit analysis. Grafting did not reduce fruit quality, although fresh firmness was improved, and that's a positive attribute with certain rootstocks. So that basically assures the marketplace that there's not a negative impact of using grafted plants. And the effects of grafting varied by rootstock cultivar and location, which in our mind really says that we have to have a much better understanding of how each rootstock is going to perform at each location. And then we haven't even talked about the scion interaction, scion rootstock interaction, but that's certainly another question. Acknowledgements, technical assistance provided by Dr. Tim Waters. He's the county extension agent in Franklin County, which is the main watermelon production area. So I'm eternally grateful to Tim. We use his crew. His crew goes out and monitors our fields on a daily basis. I should say that we're about 400 miles away from these fields. So when we make a commitment to go over, it's a day or two commitment on our part to go over. So having him on the ground doing this work really helps. Babette Gunderson is a research technician in the plant pathology lab, so training my graduate students on how to do the analysis for the soils, and we take the plants all the way down to isolating the disease and then re-inoculating the disease back on using Koch's postulates in the greenhouse, and I'm not presenting that data here, but we do that as well. Patty Kreider, my research assistant, who I call my master grafter, she's trained 4 graduate students now and our 5th graduate students in training them how to graft in the greenhouse, our farm manager. And our funding is provided by Emerging Research Issues Grant from Washington State University, the Northwest Ag Research Foundation, which are our growers, so our growers pay for this work. Washington State Commission on Pesticide Registration, so basically alternatives to fumigation for our growers, comes through the state. And the Skagit Men's Garden Club. I just have to note them. Through our work, we give away all of our extra plants at the end of our, you know, when we planted our plots, we have a lot of extra plants. We give them away. We gave them to the Men's Garden Club a couple of years ago, and they said it was the first time they were ever able to grow watermelon in our region, and so they were eternally grateful, and they gave us $5,000. So I was like, oh my, that's a lot of money, right? So I just have to acknowledge them. So do we have time for questions? All right, any questions?
Hey Carol, where
we get them directly from the companies. So, and this year we have, I didn't mention this year, but we have a whole other experiment going in this year with some different rootstocks. So it's and then Jesse's work that he did 2 years ago was actually we screened some germplasm. So we went to the NPGS. And we're starting, I have an interest in looking at the germplasm opportunities for rootstocks, so looking at cucurbits. David?
I'm not familiar with the area. Do you have issues with nematodes?
No. No. So the question was, do we have issues with nematodes? And no. Not in watermelon. We have issues in nematodes on potatoes and some other crops, but not with watermelon. So don't bring them. Yeah? Do we graft manually or by machine? All of our grafting is manual. We don't graft as many plants as Carrie. I mean, we're grafting hundreds of plants, but not thousands. And so all of our grafting is by hand.
How much
I'm sorry?
How many percent?
Well, that's another great question, because I'm really working on our percent with watermelon. Watermelon is a little tricky. I will say that our tomatoes, using our technique with tomatoes, we have 98% success with tomatoes. And I'm very, very comfortable grafting tomatoes. Eggplant, and we have an eggplant grafted project as well. We're at 86%, and I should say that we have our first commercial grafted eggplant planting this year. So we have a farmer that has a commercial planting of eggplant. I'm kind of nervous, but this is kind of when the rubber hits the road, right? And we're about 86% there, but I've done no work on eggplant. We just use our tomato protocol for eggplant. We're at 86%. With watermelon, it's tricky. We're up and down with watermelon. So my graduate student this time is really focused in the greenhouse. I want to up our watermelon. We get about 80% most of the times, but I've gotten 20% sometimes. My goal is 90%+, and we've hit 90% now with some of our greenhouse studies. But I want to be consistent above 90%. That's our focus this year.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.